ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट 5 पुरेह भूमान भावापि योगिनास त्वद् अर्पितेह निज कर्म लब्धया विबुद्ध्य भक्त्वाय कथोपि न कथापि नेतया प्रपेदिराजनो अच्युत ते गतिं परम। ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ ऑलमाइटी लॉर्ड, इन द पास्ट मेनी योगीज इन दिस वर्ल्ड अचीव द प्लेटफॉर्म ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस बाय ऑफरिंग ऑल द एंडेवर्स अनटू यू एंड फेथफुली कैरिंग आउट देयर प्रिस्क्राइब्ड ड्यूटीज। थ्रू सच डिवोशनल सर्विस परफेक्टेड बाय द प्रोसेस ऑफ हियरिंग एंड चैंटिंग अबाउट यू, they came to understand you, O Infallible One, and could easily surrender to you and achieve your supreme abode. Text 6, translation. Non-devotees, however, cannot realize you in their full personal feature. Nevertheless, it may be possible for them to realize your expansion as the impersonal supreme by cultivating direct perception of the self within the heart. But they can do this only by purifying their mind and senses of all conceptions of material distinctions and all attachments to material sense objects. Only in this way will your impersonal feature manifest itself to them. Purport. It is difficult for conditioned souls to understand all the transcendental features of the Supreme Lord. As confirmed in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagwan Iti Shabyate. The transcendental existence of God is understood through progressively as the impersonal effulgence, the localized supersoul in one's heart, and finally the Supreme Personality of Godhead existing in His eternal abode. Lord Krishna's transcendental existence is beyond the qualities of material nature. Thus here the Lord is referred as Agunasya, without material qualities. Even by practicing yoga or engaging in advanced philosophical speculation, one will find it very difficult to understand clearly the transcendental existence beyond the modes of material nature. And these processes are virtually useless for understanding the Lord's own unlimited transcendental qualities, which are far beyond the impersonal conception of spiritual existence. Only by the mercy of the pure devotees of the Lord, or by associating with the Lord Himself, can one begin the process of realizing the personal feature of God, a process that culminates in pure Krishna consciousness, the final and the supreme perfection of knowledge. Hare Krishna. So, continuing our discussion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein after this magnificent episode of Lord Brahma getting bewildered, the after effects of his bewilderment is this beautiful prayers that he's offering to the Lord. If we have experienced, or at least we have seen, that sometimes lone travelers who travel, and while traveling, they come to a place like a desert, vast open land without any indication of where to go. Or for people who are from the cold countries, vast land with unlimited snow, white. It's just everything is white. So in a desert or in the snow, one feels completely lost. We do not know where to go, what to do. There is no direction. Just imagine a situation. We are so used to directions. But just imagine that you're supposed to go somewhere and there's absolutely no direction being revealed to you. There are no boards and the whole thing is completely a flat land. everything looks the same. You don't know whether to go right or to go left or to go straight. Because of being living in developed cities, we are so used to directions. Everything is at least supposed to be very well organized. You know, we know there's a boards, we know left, right. But just imagine a situation where you are just lost, a lone traveler, in complete loneliness, and you are left in a desert, and you are supposed to go to a place which is close from that place, but you don't know where to go. So that is our situation of a sadhaka. That spiritual life, Krishna is so far away from us. Something is just an idea that we know that he exists. Just imagine if you're a traveler and you just know that there's a place which exists, we have no foggiest of ideas of where it exists, where to go up. You have no directions. What will happen? So similarly, we sadhakas, we know Krishna exists. We know that we are supposed to surrender to Krishna. But if it was not for these powerful prayers by these very, very powerful devotees like Lord Brahma, we would be completely lost in complete bewilderment. But these prayers of these great souls, they give us a very clear indication, direction, clear focus of where we are and where we need to go and the exact path to go there. Suppose you are lost and somebody just sends you a GPS or a TomTom, what we call in the other countries, you know, where somebody speaks. You just enter that data and then they speak, turn left, take a roundabout, go straight, things like that. So easy. So we must appreciate that what we are getting in this form of, especially these prayers of Lord Brahma, who happens to be such a special person in our life, our Adi Guru, our original spiritual master. Spiritual master gives us the direction. He is the captain of the boat, as we understand, that to cross over the ocean of birth and death, human life is a wonderful boat. But this ocean is so vast, and we need a captain. Why do we need a captain? We say spiritual master is the captain. Why? Because he knows exactly where to go and where not to go. Otherwise, even a huge ship like Titanic, you could be having the best of ship. I mean, you could be having the best of knowledge, the best of everything as a human body could have. But if you don't know the directions, you can hit to a powerful iceberg, and it can be destroyed in no time. So similarly, we could be very, very small, or we could be very big, whoever we are. We need person to direct us. And if you read these prayers very carefully, and as we see further, Lord Brahma, in such a magnificent and brilliant way, is giving us a direction of where you should not go, because he has traveled places where we are not supposed to go. He has learned by experience. And he will tell us further that what we should not do and what we and what is our real position, who we really are. And how do we really go to the destination that we are supposed to go as sadhakas, to the kingdom of God? So while we are reading these prayers, it is not that, and it is just one of the verse. I mean, every verse, every syllable of Bhagavatam is special. But as we understand, within the special, there's something more special, something that's most special. So as we know, you know, earth planet is special, but within the earth planet, Vrindavan is special. Rupa Goswami says, and within Vrindavan, you know, Brajamandal is, the Govardhan is special, things like that. Similarly, Bhagavatam is such an Amala Puranam. It's such a special scripture meant for us to really purify ourselves. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. To purify ourselves. But within the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto of Bhagavatam is, as we know, it is one of the most evolved understanding of God that we get over here. God, as he is in his home, as he is, the way he behaves in his private home. You know, otherwise we know God in office or God in other place. But here, 10th canto gives us a glimpse, a window, as Prabhupada calls it, the window to the spiritual world, the paintings. They give us a glimpse of what God does. He steals butter. He plays with the gopis, things like that. So 10th canto is evolved. And in that, our Adi Guru, Lord Brahma, is praying right in that land of Vrindavan, having got such deep realizations after a very, very powerful episode in his life. You know, many times, you know, we tell devotees, and we have been told also, that please pray to the Lord. You know, please be very, very prayerful. Every time we sit to chant, it is a prayer. But how much ever we try, at least for me, how much ever I try, till the time I'm not in a desperate situation, it becomes that much more difficult for me to really pray to the Lord. I remember many, many years back, this is in the beginning of my Krishna consciousness. You know, everything was nice. You know, in the beginning when you come, everybody encourages you. And everybody is very nice. They overlook your faults. And, you know, they just encourage you, please, whatever you're doing is very nice. But then comes the first chastisement in your life from a devotee. Somebody, it has to be a first. You know, we all, if you go back to the first chastisement that we got, our understanding of Krishna consciousness was completely changed, at least for temporarily. Hopefully, otherwise we would not be here. It was permanently changed and none of us would be here. But temporarily it was changed. That, oh, these devotees don't understand, they're useless. So similarly, I was chastised profusely, the first chastisement, you know, by my own spiritual master. Very heavy chastisement. And it came and I was like, I've never seen this. And then the next day, you know, knowing his mood, I thought he would be very nice. Again, there was a heavy chastisement, second big blow of chastisement. And it was like shattering, and I was supposed to travel from Chopati, from here to Malad. You know, that's where I stay. And we all know what comes in between is the Bandra Creek. And the train passes through the creek, and I was getting all sorts of ideas of doing something in the creek, making best use of that creek. It's really, I mean, I might be laughing, you might be laughing, but at that time it was a desperate situation that, you know, what is the use of my life if this person that I'm trying to please is completely so disgusted, and not once, twice. And then after a few days, again chastisement. So it was three heavy blows of chastisement, and then came the Sunday feast class. You know, and then we used to have kirtans on the Sunday feast. And there, you know, we had the last kirtan, you know, as usual, he was telling us to please chant with intensity, and I was desperately intense. I was just crying out loudly, oh Krishna, except for Krishna's holy name, there was nothing. And to this day, I don't have that desperate situation. I just, you know, I don't want the chastisement again. but that desperate situation is not there. So similarly, we understand that when we are in acutely desperate situation, then we can pray to the Lord. Can you imagine the situation of Lord Brahma? That here is, he is a big man, but big people do big mistakes. You know, you might do some small mistake. I mean, you are a small man, so you might, you know, you might do some small mistake. But Lord Brahma is so big that he actually doesn't recognize the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna. He plays with fire, such a powerful fire. So can you imagine, he got a jolt, as we say, a 500 volts jolt. And when he saw the whole thing, in the previous chapter, we saw what he saw. And he was such, I said, what have I done? In that mood, these prayers are coming from his heart. Lord Brahma, of course, he's teaching by his example. Excuse me. He's teaching by his example that how whoever you are, you may be, but what sort of mistakes you can do. So Lord, these prayers that are coming from the heart of Lord Brahma are extremely powerful prayers. In the next two verses, we are going to have one of the most king of all verses. Tateinu kampam susamikshamano bhunjan evat kritak vibhagam. The verse which Srila Prabhupada practically, as I understand, quoted most often, is it not? Maybe one of the most often quoted verses by Srila Prabhupada, that it came from the heart of Lord Brahma. So we must understand that when we are reading this verse, it's just to create an understanding that these verses are so very important. When Lord Brahma is saying, The Almighty Lord, in the past, many yogis in this world achieved the platform of devotional service by offering all their endeavors unto you and faithfully carrying out your prescribed duties. Through devotional service perfected by the process of hearing and chanting about you. So Lord Brahma is talking about a devotional service perfected by hearing and chanting. So we must understand that offering a prayers to the Lord is a very, very essential item of bhakti. We have 9 processes of devotional service. In that vandanam, of offering prayers, is an extremely important anga of bhakti. In fact, if you see, the spirit that we see in the Bhagavatam is all shown, the profuse devotional spirit is shown by the powerful prayers of great souls. So many wonderful prayers are there. So that's something that comes out in the form of prayers. And these prayers are so important and so powerful that one of the important prayers is of Gajendra. He's in a desperate situation. Extremely desperate situation. It's a question of life and death, as we call it. Situation of life and death. He was actually in a situation of life and death. Either it was life or death for him. In that situation, he prays. And what did he pray? These prayers are so powerful that he prayed something which he had learned in his previous life. So prayers are such a powerful medium of pleasing the Lord. They don't only remain with you in this life, but they travel with you in your next life if you are really prayed intensely. And they help you when you really need them. So that is the power of prayers. Gajendra is a classical example of the power of prayers. That it is not destroyed. It continues with you. It is not destroyed. It goes on with you. So prayers, when you're offering, the important aspect is it needs to be filled with affection and love. But that affection and love will not come unless and until we are in a desperate situation. A prayer, we just come in front of the Lord. I was analyzing, there's so many times we just come in the front of the Lord. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to really pray to the Lord, to communicate with the Lord. But because of our hard-heartedness, because of our intense interaction with the material energy, many times we find ourselves having absolutely no affection and love because of managerial situations. I was discussing with some devotee a few days back, and we were talking to them that it is, Prabhupada called it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Shri Krishna Chaitanya. That is the consciousness. To be Krishna Chaitanya. To be the conscious of Krishna. So it's how important for us to remember that whenever we are doing whatever we are doing, it is the consciousness that is very important. And the devotee said, yes, Prabhuji, many times when we do something, as devotees, when we spend some time and we do some devotional service, active, practical devotional service, we are more like event managers, he was saying. It's a nice word, event managers. We just do an event without any substance in that event. Coming to the DT becomes an event for us. And we want to manage the event, that means we come, Mangala Arati becomes an event for us. Not a devotional event, but simply an event. That we come, you know, we dance, we fold our hands, raise our hands, fold our hands, raise our hands, fold our hands, raise our hands. And then it becomes an event and we become excellent event managers. And that's the case in every activity of our life. But if we have that component of love and affection, that event becomes a wonderful gift to Krishna, filled with love and affection. That prayer will come from our heart. Otherwise, it becomes simply like an action. So we do not want to become event managers. We don't want to become just managing some event. We want to have profuse love in our heart. So what is it that is required to be in a prayer? In brief, we would like to just understand that a prayer consists of 4 components. And we will see this, how Lord Brahma is perfectly composing this very, very amazing prayer. And it is not that he is trying to follow this component, first component tick mark, second component tick mark. It's not just ticking off. It's just naturally coming from the heart. And the way it comes in a very orderly fashion. So the first component is glorification of the Lord from the heart. Who the Lord is really. And here he uses the word achyuta. Now, you know, it is so very important to understand the Bhagavatam and why a particular word happens to be there and not any other word. And Prabhupada writes very, very, always in his purport, this word is very significant. So many times he says, this word is very significant. So he's teaching us to understand the significance of a particular word. Right? We read in the, we understand from the Bhagavad Gita, that the particular name of Krishna is used, and our dear Gaurang Prabhu has given a beautiful presentation, I remember many years back, on all the names of Krishna and why that name is used at that point of time. Rishikesh or Keshava. You know, so there's a significance. It's not that, Arjuna was trying to select some word, whatever came to his mind, he just spoke it out. There was some meaning, there's some system in that. The word here is used as achyuta. Krishna is talking about, Lord Brahma is talking about praying to the Lord. He's talking about relationship with the Lord. He's talking about that how we can become, how we can offer devotional service to the Lord by perfecting the process of chanting and hearing. He uses the word achyuta. Achyuta means what? Achyuta means infallible. Infallible, if you use the dictionary meaning, it means, what an amazing, I just went to the dictionary, I said, what is the meaning of infallible? We use achyuta, achyuta, achyuta. We have achyuta Krishna Prabhu and things like different names. What does achyuta mean? Achyuta means incapable of making mistakes. Means a achyuta person or Krishna, he has one incapability. That means he doesn't commit mistakes. The meaning of achyuta is that person is incapable of committing any mistakes. So here Brahma is using the word achyuta, and a more deeper meaning as given by our acharyas of infallible is one who does not fail to reciprocate with his devotees. That is the meaning of achyuta, Krishna. Achyuta Gaura, achyuta Krishna. Why? Achyuta in a deeper sense means one who does not fail in doing what? In reciprocating with his devotees. So Krishna is eagerly waiting 24/7 in this pose. To receive our prayers and reciprocate with us. Krishna is 24/7 available in his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So Krishna is present. He is waiting for us to approach. What is their favorite, their famous, which Upanishad? Mundaka, with that two birds sitting on the tree. What is it? Mundaka Upanishad, right? It's mentioned the two birds. This one bird is simply waiting. When will this other bird look at my side? Otherwise, we are just so busy enjoying the fruits of this on the tree. But Krishna is such a wonderful reciprocator. Just imagine, you are with a person who is infallible. That means he is incapable of not reciprocating with you. He will always reciprocate. That's his quality. So here you are there. We have a fortune to offer prayers to somebody who will always reciprocate. Just imagine, it's so frustrating a situation where we do something for somebody and there is absolutely no reciprocation. You are dealing with sometimes with stone. How frustrating it is. And that time we do have an excuse. What to do? He's not reciprocating with me. How can I continue? Many times in Grihastha Ashram, we find no reciprocation. Many times in the friendship, there's no reciprocation. So you try and try and try, but there's no reciprocation. It's so difficult to continue. But we cannot have any excuse in spiritual life when we come to Krishna consciousness. There's absolutely no excuse of reciprocation because Krishna is profusely reciprocating with us 24/7, always present. Of course. He doesn't reciprocate the way we want. That's the difference. So he doesn't reciprocate, but he does reciprocate. He definitely reciprocates. Very eager. Kubja came, he reciprocated with her. Yes, in a year you are a lady who comes filled with desires. Try to understand, when Surpanka came to Ram, he didn't reciprocate. He cut off her nose and get out of here. No reciprocation, you know, no fulfilling the desires. You just get your nose amputated, that's all. But Krishna is such a reciprocating God, much more than Ram. That Surpanka came, Kubja came with similar desires. To enjoy. Krishna straightened her up and then fulfill her desires. Such a reciprocating God. Putana, what can be more reciprocation than what he did for Putana? He showed that here I am, the first advent of my, the first encounter. Krishna is the encounter specialist. The first encounter with Putana, Khechri, must be so horrible demon. And Krishna saw her what she was not showing to the world. It's not that Krishna saw her the way she was looking, but Krishna could see much beyond. He has an X-ray vision. He could see inside of her. And Krishna has reciprocated. Oh my, she's such so nice. She's coming with her breast milk. That is the reciprocation of the Lord. So when we read these prayers, Lord Brahma is saying, Achyuta. What a glorification of the Lord. This Achyuta word is so significant, so wonderful. That here you are, you have all the chance to pray to a person who is waiting to reciprocate. That's first thing. A prayer means glorification of the Lord, to understand who this Achyuta really is. The second component of a prayer is humility and gratitude. And you will see Lord Brahma. Try to understand. Of course, we all know who is Lord Brahma. The biggest man, biggest creator of everything. And he says, what am I? This is in the text 11. He says, what am I? A small creature measuring 7 spans of my own hand. Lord Brahma is saying this. If you say it, it doesn't have much meaning because we are what we are. But Lord Brahma, such a powerful person, he sings. So such utmost humility, Lord Brahma is showing by his action. And then third prayer, a third component of a prayer is to ask for benedictions. To say no to this, no to that, and ask for na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavita va jagadish kamaye mama janmani janmaneshwari bhavatat bhakti ahetu kitvai. No distinctions, no upadhis, sar upadhir vinir muktam. To ask for benedictions. And fourth is forgiveness of the offenses that we may have committed. So a prayer, it is a very, very scientific way of offering prayer to the Lord. At the same time, we don't have to get paralyzed by analysis. There was a story, Sachinanda Maharaj says, that there was a beautiful worm which had maybe 200, small worm with lot of, she was dancing very nicely. And somebody, how do you dance so nicely? Do you put your 162nd leg in the front and then the 177th leg and then the second leg and then the 45th leg? So he said, no, I don't know what I do, but I'll tell you. So next time he started dancing, he was very analytical. He was trying to see which leg is putting first and then which leg and then which leg. He couldn't dance properly then because he was just so. So Sachinanda Maharaj calls this paralysis through analysis. That we sometimes get paralyzed when we become too analytical also. So what we are saying is not that we need to just tick mark these 4 boxes when we come from the Lord, that you have a paper, Krishna, I am very fallen, tick marked. Krishna, you are great. And we are looking beautiful today. Nice dress today, marriage dress, tick. No, that's not, it's not very mechanical. It's just a natural flow from a heart, which is possible if we have love and affection from the Lord. And then we will discuss further. How do we get this love and affection? Lord Brahma says, through such devotional service perfected by the process of hearing and chanting about you, they come to understand you. So the hearing process and chanting process, how do we really perfect it? Lord Brahma is saying, by perfecting the hearing and the chanting process. But how do we really perfect this? What is the perfection of this hearing and chanting? It is by adding the component of humility. When we add the component of humility, we perfect this process of chanting and hearing. Otherwise, chanting and hearing can be very, very mechanical. There won't be any intensity. Many times devotees say, well, then should I wait for some intense moment to come so that I can pray? Because it is, as I said, it is difficult to really pray if there is no something intense situation in our life. Should we pray for it? Should we wait for it? What do we do? So I was thinking myself that, well, how do I really tackle this? Because, you know, it's not that it's in our control to get some difficult situations. And then I read a beautiful statement. He said, the biggest tragedy in our life, when we are all waiting, we can pray nicely when we are in a when some tragedy happens. The biggest tragedy in our life is to lose a moment without performing devotional service, without remembering Krishna. That is the biggest tragedy of our life. And try to understand this. This tragedy has been happening every moment for the last millions of years in our life. Isn't it? So every moment we have a wonderful chance to pray to the Lord, because this tragedy of forgetting Krishna is profusely happening every moment. So in fact, we have a chance to pray to Krishna every moment. Why should we really wait for a so-called tragedy to happen when it is actually happening? We have to recognize that this is a tragedy. But we are just so much, diseased condition, that we don't even know that we are diseased. We are so very become morons in one sense by the material energy. We don't even realize what is right and what is wrong. So that is important. That the tragedy is, let us all help each other. And let us remember ourselves to understand that what is the real tragedy of our life. The real tragedy is to lose a moment without thinking of Krishna. Now that situation is so far away. Until the time we don't reach the situation, we are in a tragedy situation. It's a big tragedy happening in our life. It sounds very difficult to really accept, but that's a fact. Because as jiva souls, our ultimate purpose of life is to think of Krishna 24 hours, satatam kirtayanto mam. To always think of Krishna. And the moment you don't do that, it's a tragedy. It's a big tragedy, huge tragedy. So Lord Brahma is teaching us that you need to be praying in every situation of life. And many a times, as we understand, as we are performing devotional service, as we are really practicing Krishna consciousness, we naturally, as Lord Brahma is saying, that I was so caught up in so many affairs of this worldly affairs. Lord Brahma manages such a huge factory, such a huge creation that he has made. And he said, I got so caught up in this creation. Similarly, as we spend time in Krishna consciousness, as we spend time in performing various events and various situations that we go through, we become naturally big. We grow. Like, you know, none of us can stop our growth. We are growing, we are becoming big, isn't it? You know, from a child, every minute he is growing. And we also are growing. We might not grow after a particular stage of our life. We might not grow physically, but we are growing. The amazing dynamics of spiritual life is that when big thinks that it is big, it is small. But when the big thinks that it is small, it is big. We'll just try to understand this situation, you know. That when you become big, and if we all become big, because becoming big is just by passage of time you become big. You know, you don't have to really work hard to become big, you naturally become big. When I say big means either become a big devotee, you know, or you become big with so many more responsibilities. Just the fact that you are growing. You know, I remember, when I got married, I in my photograph of marriage, Priyavrat Prabhu is just behind me. He's a small baby looking at what both of us were doing, putting garlands. There's a very famous, I remember, it's a photo. And now yesterday he got married. He was a baby when I was getting married, and now he got married. You know, so it's just passage of time makes you big. And when you're big, you take more responsibilities. Now he is a husband and he's become big. So becoming big is not a big thing, because you naturally become big. You know, you become a Sankirtan leader, you become a book distributor, you become a counselor, you become a temple president, you become a guru maybe also. So becoming big is it comes. But when you become big, and when you think that you are big, then what it is? You're actually small. Because it is in thinking that we are small that we become big. Because in spiritual life, big is small and small is big. That is the dynamics of spiritual life. Because in a corporate world, when you become big, you are actually big. When you are a simple executive and you grow, and as we call it, we grew through the career path. And now I become a COO or a CEO. He's actually grown. He's become a chief executive officer. He's a big man. And he's actually because he has more powers. And he can do big things. And he can think he's big, because if he doesn't think he's big, he will not be able to do what he's supposed to do. But in spiritual life, you cannot think what you may be. You have to always think that you are small. And we learn this situation from the brilliant example of the great Rajarishi king Pratapurudra. Pratapurudra was such a big king. He was ruling over big provinces in Bengal, Orissa. He was very powerful, a big king. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, till the time, of course, Pratapurudra was always very, very humble. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had nothing to do with this big person. He said, I don't want to meet this big person. I don't want to meet him. But when that big person became small, he became a bhangi. He dressed as a bhangi. And he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was massaging his feet and started singing Gopi Gita. When he saw his humble disposition, when the big became small, then in the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very big. Isn't it? So Lord Brahma is teaching the same important lesson time and again, which we tend to forget. It is not that we have not heard this earlier. We have heard it n number of times. But Lord Brahma is teaching by example that how big a person I was and that I am. Lord Brahma, big man. But because he thought he was actually a bit big, and he said, who is this small person? And many times we get this thought, who is this person? Who is this person correcting me? Who is this person differing from my opinion? Don't we get these thoughts in our mind? This phrase, who is this, with our eyebrows little raised. Don't we get this thought after spending some time? Kone tu? We might not speak it, but we get this thought, who are you? That's what Brahma thought. Who is this young boy, and Lord Indra, same thing. Who is this young boy, young talkative boy? So the moment we think, who is this person? And we start comparing that person to us, and what do you think he is? We think we are big. And we don't realize, but we make this mistake again and again and again. And the moment we think that we are big, we become very small in the eyes of Krishna. We become very useless in the eyes of Krishna. Many, many years back, I heard from my spiritual master a very, very fantastic analogy. He was talking about this fountain. He said, we see this fountain. How everything can teach you such a wonderful lesson. And he was sharing this example with some of the leaders of the temple at that point in time. He said, have you seen the fountain? He said, the fountain, the water, is going up. And the way the fountain is made, there is a pump below. And the pump naturally pushes the water up. And the water goes up. Sometimes it goes very high. You have seen some fountains. And it goes to sometimes 2-story, 3-story, 4-story high. So, zoop, it comes up. But he said, so based on the pump that we have, that we are attached to, that pump will push us up either few centimeters up or few floors up. It can pump you up. But what is the natural situation of water? The moment the water reaches to some height, it again wants to go down to the lowest situation. And again it is pushed up. Because in a fountain, it is the same water which is used. It just recycles. It comes down, the same water goes up. It comes down, the same water goes up. I said, a leader, a so-called big devotee, should think like that. That yes, because of some pump attached to me, because of the pump of whatever time spent in Krishna consciousness, the pump of some response that we are taking in Krishna consciousness, the pump is pushing us up. It's pushing up to, and sometimes, as I said, pushing up very big, we may become very big person. Very big. Prabhupada was such a big man. He was in Vrindavan. He was a very, nobody knew him. And somehow the pump of time in few years made Prabhupada such a big man. People were fanning him and everything. But Prabhupada was sitting in front of the deities. He was folding his hands. One of his disciples asked, Prabhupada, what are you praying? And Prabhupada said, I'm simply praying that I might not fall in Maya. Prabhupada, how can, you know, and that devotee got a wonderful realization that because Prabhupada is praying this, that I might not fall in Maya, he will never fall in Maya. Because he's praying. That devotee shared. So you can be very big as, because we can never be big as Prabhupada. We are very tiny. But you could do big things. You could be doing things. But if you are always in the mood of this water, trying to go down to the lowest situation, thinking small, and that's what Lord Brahma is saying, that I want, and of course he showed by his example, he became Haridas Thakur. And after this prayer, he was praying, and then the Lord continued, the most insignificant, a very significant devotee, but very insignificant birth. So that is what we need to learn from Lord Brahma. Many a times we have this pride. The different types of pride. You know, just pride coming by some position, that is very obvious. Sometimes we have pride of just being attached to a particular temple or particular place. Many times we go to a place and said, I am a devotee from so and so temple. And that temple is very glorious. But that doesn't make you glorious. That doesn't make me glorious. The temple is glorious because of the wonderful devotees who are serving that temple. But that doesn't make you glorious. And I was thinking when I was hearing this beautiful pastime of Navadvip, the situation of Navadvip before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his birth was such a pathetic situation. How it's a divine holy place. It's eternal dham, nitya lila, nitya dham. It is not that it became divine after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born. It was his eternal place of the Lord's pastimes. But just if you just feel that I am from Navadvip, but just see the situation of Navadvip at that point in time. So we cannot just be proud of a place. We have to be, we have to be proud of our connection to Krishna. That's the only pride we have. And sometimes we become, you know, proud of our learning. And, you know, this is such a subtle pride. Such a subtle pride. So, you know, but we see in the form of Keshav Kashmiri. I mean, who can be more learned than Lord Brahma or Keshav Kashmiri? I mean, Lord Brahma his body is filled with, you know, such an eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Is full of knowledge. Sat. But he is saying that I don't know anything. So pride is dangerous. So what is the cardinal principle that Lord Brahma is teaching from these beautiful prayers? And as we go further, this prayer is that if we want to really understand and relish the bliss of devotional service, the bliss of what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us, then we should be always in the mood of small. Even though you might be very big, but big is small in spiritual life and small is big. So that's what I thought would be a wonderful meditation when we go out from tomorrow for book distribution. Tomorrow happens to be the first day of the Prabhupada book marathon. And I'm sure devotees in their own ways, big or small, we will do their own bit to distribute Prabhupada's books. But if we simply, as we have heard from our teachers, if we simply go as a small people distributing this book, because the book is very big. Prabhupada's books are very big. But that doesn't make us big. That doesn't make us act arrogant. Many times we become very arrogant on the street when we distribute books. Take this book. But, you know, why this arrogance? Do you think you are big because you're distributing something special? No. The book is great, but you are very insignificant. You have got a very significant chance to do a very significant service in spite of your insignificance. So if you go with that mood, And you know, and of course, Krishna will do the needful. I mean, if he has to, if we have to get this place vacated, this big place, and Sadbhuj Prabhu has put it very strategically for all of us to keep on, you know, seeing that, you know, we can't, I mean, give these books out till we really have a humble spirit, because these are not ordinary mundane books that we can distribute, you know, the way mundane books are distributed. These books are distributed by purity, and the purity comes by humility. So if this can be the meditation, that this big service that we have for the next 1 month will be possible if we think ourselves to be very, very small. But if we are doing this big service and we still have some pride in us, then we will not be able to do that much book distribution. Or for that matter, any service that we are doing, not only book distribution, but any service that we are doing, that will be important. So Lord Brahma is teaching this very, very significant lesson to us. After his bewilderment, his deep realization is that I am simply insignificant. And that's how these verses take us further. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna, is there any questions? Vishakha Mataji would like to address us some. So thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi.